I just returned from a vacation, and I have lots of photos and some souvenirs to remember our good times. And as always, I picked up a coffee mug to add to the dozens of coffee mugs that I've collected on different trips. Not to mention all of the coffee mugs that I have from Wisconsin Public Radio pledge drives. The coffee mug that I'm using this morning is from my 2008 joyride when we brought this show on the road for a statewide tour. So why do I collect coffee mugs? Why do we collect stuff of any sort? Why do we save old birthday cards or our high school term papers or the kids' third grade art projects? When does collecting or saving stuff cross the line and become hoarding? Why do so many of us have trouble parting with our stuff? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, March the 13th. We noticed an article on the Philadelphia Inquirer website yesterday on why we collect stuff. And it featured an interview with one of our regular guests, Frank Farley, a psychologist at Temple University and former president of the American Psychological Association. So we thought we would talk about why we collect stuff and why we keep these things and when it crosses the line into hoarding. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234. Are you a collector of anything like coins or stamps, something along those lines? Do you have trouble getting rid of stuff? Or have you discovered the secret to parting with these things? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. Frank Farley is a psychologist at Temple University and former president of the American Psychological Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, am I a weirdo because I like to collect coffee mugs when I go on trips?
Not if you love coffee.
Well, I do. But you know what happens I use it for a little while, and then I'll have to admit my husband's like, let's get rid of some of these coffee mugs. So into a box they go and down into the basement. And it's like, why am I doing this?
Well, you know, let me quote George Carlin to start. You know, he did that famous riff about stuff, and he said, that's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff.
That's right, and I have actually sent some mugs and other things to Goodwill or the, you know, Salvation Army or some other place as donations. I don't keep them forever, and I can walk around my house, so I think I've got a handle on it. But what is the appeal of collecting things, coins or cars or so on?
Well, I think there's several factors involved. One is what I call self-management. You know, organizing things and taking care of things and moving things along and so on takes just a lot of effort, and it's boring for many people. So they just, instead of organizing and then throwing away the stuff they don't need and keeping only the things they need, that's self-management. It takes a lot of time. For many people, it's boring, uninteresting, and so they just pile up stuff, and then they find a place to put it, and they'll often say, well, I'll get to that later. And often they don't. So that's one of the things. I think another thing sort of related to that maybe is thrift. You know, you think, well, I may need this later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to hold on to that. And then for some people in the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, if I don't use it, I'll put together all those shoes and I'll go to Goodwill and I'll donate them. So a kind of thrift attitude, and actually a sort of generosity attitude there as well, that I'll keep enough of these things and then I'll donate them, or I will need them later. Or in families, there may be hand-me-down value, and so we'll hold on to these and they'll be handed down from the older to the younger children. And then another very key one, in my view, is sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, attachment and sentiment, connecting it to something important. You know, a kind of relationship remembered, perhaps, or connections that are captured in that item. or memories of wonderful experiences that are captured, like, you know, a trip that you took, as you were mentioning. And so we hold on to those. But for most people, in time, if it builds up to too much, most people ultimately start moving things out, get rid of them, donate them, whatever. And if you don't do that, you're potentially slipping into that hoarding category.
Mm-hmm. Do you, Frank Farley, have any cherished keepsakes?
I do. I have my father's cowboy hat.
Oh, yeah.
My father worked most of his life in the stockyards up in northern Alberta, where I grew up, in Canada. And so working in the stockyards, he had this cowboy hat. And I have that hanging on my dining room wall. It's a wonderful hat.
Yeah, and you'd never want to part with that.
Oh, absolutely, out of the question. And his tools, he had many hand tools. He was always building and working on things and adding rooms and stuff like that. And I have at least two or three of his original hand tools. He passed away in the 1980s. These are wonderful things for me, you know, and I wouldn't dream of getting rid of those. And there's that kind of talisman quality and that kind of, I think, the connection. You know, if we throw everything away, in a sense, we're throwing away a precious, I think, connection to people and a reminder of relationships. And so I think that's a very positive side of it.
Yeah, but some of us might want to draw a line between holding on to worthwhile things or cherished keepsakes, like your father's cowboy hat, and, on the other hand, building up a whole pile of junk.
Oh, absolutely. And in the latter case, the piling up of junk can ultimately get out of hand. You know, hoarding often starts with a loss. Somebody dies, and like a child, and you don't want to, you want to preserve that time and that memory. And it becomes very hard for some people then to throw things away that were the child's things. And that can sometimes be the start of, you know, hoarding. And you keep these things, and then you begin holding on to other things. And pretty soon your whole life history is represented in stuff and things, and they pile up. And you know, hoarding, the diagnostic and statistical manual, you know, the diagnostic Bible in this country in psychology and psychiatry, is talking about creating a new disorder, a hoarding disorder. Very controversial, of course, and there's a raging debate going on about that as a new disorder and some other things as new disorders. But one of the issues is, how serious is hoarding? I talk about big H hoarding and small H hoarding.
Okay, and the big H hoarding is the stuff we see on that hit TV show Hoarders.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the problems is we don't know how extensive that is, and we don't know for absolutely certain how it starts. But in many cases, it does start with an emotional event, a loss. And so you want to hold on. You want to hold on to those memories. And then pretty soon it may generalize, and you're beginning to hold on to a whole range of things. And then it gets totally out of hand, and you can't deal with it. Again, that self-management
mm-hmm.
problem.
And the little H hoarding is?
Oh, everyday, you mm-hmm. know, stuff in the basement. It's not really hoarding in that. It's collecting, probably is a better term, but it's a small H event no matter what. But I think if you went into most people's basements, you're going to have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And so how a lot of us are, right, you know, kind of in the middle there, where we may not be hoarders on the TV show, but we do have a lot of stuff in our closets or our garages or basements. So how do we get started in determining this goes to Goodwill, or, you know, or I must keep this because it's so cherished?
Well, I think you have to reflect on how close it is to you emotionally. Mm-hmm. There are just some things you would never even dream of throwing away, I think, in most cases. And by the way, something I didn't mention is Americans on average have more space than many other, than people living in many other countries.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the old idea, if you build it, they will come. If you've got the space, you'll fill it. And so often we're reluctant to throw away things that are really rather remote from us emotionally and really not too closely connected. I think that connection scale, that connection metric is important, and use that as a basis, a yardstick for deciding what to throw away. How truly close is it to you, your life, your family, your history, your emotions?
We are talking about collecting and keepsakes and memory and why we keep things, why we collect things, and when perhaps it crosses the line into hoarding. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your stories. We wonder if you collect anything. What is it and why? Do you have trouble getting rid of stuff? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Checking our weather forecast for today. If you like it mild, you are going to like this weather forecast. Sunny and mild today. High temperatures 58 in northern Wisconsin, 68 in the southern part of the state. Clear tonight, lows mainly in the 40s, and then tomorrow, sunny and unseasonably warm, highs statewide will be in the 70s tomorrow. I'm Joy Cardine, this is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, March the 13th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we will talk about the latest developments in voter ID and recall elections in Wisconsin. A Dane County judge blocked the law requiring Wisconsin voters to show photo identification at the polls yesterday, declaring it unconstitutional in Wisconsin. We'll talk more about that coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now we are talking about why we collect stuff and why the storage industry is booming, and why some of us keep boxes and boxes of birthday cards and artwork and schoolwork and that sort of thing, and when we can get rid of this stuff. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Frank Farley, psychologist at Temple University, former president of the American Psychological Association. And our first caller is Jamie in Green Bay. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So I understand you're a collector of something somewhat unusual.
I am. I actually collect shot glasses. I started collecting them about, I would say, 15 years ago, and whether I go to another city in Wisconsin or go to China or another country, I tend to pick up a shot glass, and I have about 100 of them currently, and a couple years ago, my mom bought me a small cabinet to put them all in, so I have them all displayed, and they're all in wonderful shapes and colors and textures, and for me, it's just a really... as you mentioned, with the coffee mug, it's just a really cool way for me to remember the places I've been. And I actually even had a technology education teacher make me a shot glass as a present, and it's totally drinkable and dishwasher safe and that sort of thing. I don't use them a whole lot. Again, they're more on display, but I don't know that it's something I see myself getting rid of unless I have to. I don't really collect any other thing. When I travel, this is kind of my thing that I do collect.
Yeah, and what you just decided one day, oh, this isn't something easy to carry home. This is kind of, you know, I'll pick one of these up, and that's how it started?
Yeah, I think when I was in college and visiting different college campuses, it kind of seemed like the right thing to do at the time, and it kind of just grew from there, and most travel stores and places, it's something they do have, and all of them are different, you know, not... No, two of them look the same.
Yeah, I saw those in the various souvenir shops where I was. One of the stops I made was Las Vegas, and there were plenty of them there. But
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, Frank Farley, I mean, some people, this is just a nice, it's just a fun little hobby, and it's a nice memory.
Oh, absolutely, sure. Gee, you know, there is that connection between colleges and shot glasses.
Yes.
Not that I think of it, but, absolutely, and it's interesting. You know, it's interesting constructing these kinds of things, and, you know, and so our environments that we create around us, you know, are very important. We don't live in a vacuum, and look, we have the arts, and we have all sorts of things that are associated with our environment, creating an environment that we enjoy, and so collecting, you know, souvenirs and organizing them and so on, it's fun.
Yeah, so there's really nothing wrong with Jamie or with me because we like to collect little souvenirs on our vacations.
Oh, absolutely not. I certainly don't feel that way. And, you know, there's it's attachment, you know, to things, and there's personal and emotional attachment. There's a form of attachment that we haven't talked about, which is sort of professional attachment as well. It's something associated with what you do, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I'm reminded of the Italian cruise ship that sunk in January.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was a world-famous event. And there was a violinist on that ship. And he actually was considered one of the heroic figures. He saved several lives. He did much better than the captain, I might
mm-hmm.
add. He saved several lives. And then at the last moment before he left the ship, unfortunately, he ran back to get his violin,
oh, yeah.
which he wanted. And this became a famous event, and he drowned. He died. You know, but that's a form of a sort of professional attachment where you become attached to something. And then another form of attachment is superstitious attachment. You get that among sports figures quite a lot. And in other areas, you know, the baseball players who
wear the same something game after game as long as they're winning?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And it's because they, you know, they feel it was associated with, you know, some really good play, you know, with some success. And so they want to repeat that over and over again. So the whole collecting thing is fascinating.
Yeah. I have a friend who picked up every once in a while a little owl figurine. And she doesn't know how it got started. She really wasn't that attached to owls. But it turned out that everybody thought she loved owls, so she started getting owls as gifts every single, you know, birthday or occasion. And she ended up having way too many owls. They weren't really something she wanted to collect. But everybody decided to collect them for her, I guess. So it's a little different story. Sometimes you get things you don't want.
But actually, that helps people to buy presents for one.
If you do have something you collect, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Jamie, for example, it's pretty easy to figure out a nice present for Jamie. It might be a shot glass.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we have this Facebook comment from Mary Beth on Facebook. She writes, "If you wouldn't buy your things at a thrift store, throw them away. If you wouldn't buy your things at a thrift store, throw them away. If your son is never going to take the time when he's grown to read every worksheet that you have saved, get rid of them. If it's just too painful to toss, take a picture of it. Then dump it. It feels so good to live in an uncluttered house. I struggled with sentiment and perfection for a long time, and I like this way better. I haven't missed anything yet." So there's something to be said about clearing the clutter.
Oh, sure. And some people like that. You know, it simplifies life, and you get rid of that clutter. It can be like a rejuvenating fresh start to throw out a lot of stuff. So for sure. But again, a lot of people don't tilt that direction. You know, the emotional connection is important for many people. And so they want around them things that connect to their relationships, their personal history, their life, their family history. You know, relationships are enormously important. It's alleged that Albert Einstein was once asked, what's the most important thing in life? And you might have thought he would say, well, understanding the universe. No, it's alleged that he said one word, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these kind of connections and relationships can be preserved to some extent through things that you collect that are personal and important.
What do you think of Mary Beth's, this is just sort of general, if it's too painful to toss, take a picture of it.
Well, I think it sounds like that's fine for her, and mm-hmm. I think that would be fine for some people, but, you lose the tactile,
mm-hmm.
you lose the holding something, you... For example, my father's cowboy hat, it hangs on the wall, looks very nice there, and is a nice, beautiful remembrance. Would I take a picture of it and then put a picture somewhere? I could, I guess. But to me, it just wouldn't have the dimension that, you know, the actual hat has.
Yeah. We are talking with Frank Farley, psychologist at Temple University, former president of the American Psychological Association, about collecting and keepsakes and memory, talking about why we keep things, why we collect things. When this crosses the line and becomes hoarding, and we're welcoming your questions for him, your examples, your experiences, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about why some of us collect things, be it coins or stamps or cars or shot glasses or, in my case, coffee mugs from the places I visited and from Wisconsin Public Radio pledge drives. And when this collecting becomes a problem. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Tuesday, March the 13th. What do you collect and why? Do you keep too much stuff, or have you figured out a way to part with things that you once thought you wanted to keep? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are discussing these issues with a guest psychologist, and we welcome your stories. Frank Farley is our guest, psychologist at Temple University, former president of the American Psychological Association. And our next caller is Phil in Cedarburg. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
What do you collect?
Well, I started collecting years ago, and I'd buy extra repair parts for the house when I'd be fixing things up, and that's why I accumulated a lot of things. And I live in a rural area, so it seemed to make sense at the time. And and it confirms it now with the gas prices that high, so I don't know. But I've been told that I guess if you collect large things that it really pays to take a picture of it and then get rid of it, and then they have to take care of it. So,
mm-hmm. But Phil is an example, Frank Farley, I think, of that thrift collector, huh?
It kind of sounds like that, yes. And, of course, if things are too big and they begin to crowd you out, it's probably time to get out the camera or the cell phone and take pictures and move the stuff along. And again, if they're not connected, you know, personally, emotionally, family or friends and things like that, that emotional side of us that is so wonderful, if it's really not tied in with that, then it's probably not worth keeping if it's crowding you out.
You know, I have not watched that show, The Hoarders, very much. I happened to just catch part of it just recently for the first time. But I looked, in preparation for the show, I was looking at some of the online episodes, and there was this woman who she was a shopaholic too. She would go shopping and get a real rush when she found a deal. So she was looking for bargains, and then she would, you know, just buy, you know, dozens of different items if it was on sale, and be, you know, collecting this down in the basement or whatever. And she'd get that thrill of finding the deal. But she also referred back to how her parents, who grew up in the Depression, were, you know, always being very thrifty. And she thought she had that same feeling that someday I may need this. And so that's a part of why we maybe, you know, collect too many of certain things.
Oh, yes, and you know, it's kind of hard to resist that in this consumer culture and with the relentless and forceful marketing, you know, days when everything's on half sale, you know, and certain days of the year that are heavy on sales, et cetera, and the advent of the dollar store. And so it's harder and harder to resist that impulse. And it can lead into hoarding. Yes, you begin piling it all up, and then what do you do with it? The resale value is probably not high, and so you can donate it, but then, you know, do you really want, and you got to wrestle with that.
Yeah.
And we don't know for sure how many people are serious hoarders, but one of the key ingredients is it interfering with your life? You know, is it interfering with your relationships, with your family, with your connections, with relationship with friends? You know, some of those examples on the TV show are just unbelievable. You know, the people can barely get in their house.
Right.
They sleep on top of stuff. And so nobody comes around. Nobody wants to get involved in such extreme behavior. And so that's when it goes into big H hoarding.
Yeah.
And help is needed.
And again, Phil may be picking up a few extra things, repair parts for fixing the house when he's out shopping. It doesn't mean he's a hoarder, but
I don't think so. Yeah. Phil doesn't sound like that. By the way, another aspect of collecting too is sort of reverence, respect, something that you hold on to. You know, that you have sort of a reverence for it. I'll give you a quick example. I have a friend, a psychologist in New Mexico, who owns Sigmund Freud's cane.
Oh, sure. So, yeah, that's a real find for him.
It's a real find. And we had a meeting. I'm on a committee that met down in New Mexico last year. And he was at that meeting, and we all wanted him to bring the cane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting passing the cane around the room of about 10 psychologists, and to sort of hold the cane that was used by the famous Sigmund Freud. And so that's a kind of a different level. There's a kind of reverence, in a sense, a kind of mystery associated with it. And we all wanted to be photographed walking the way Freud used to walk with his cane.
Yeah,
just
sure.
For fun.
Hey, not quite the same reverence, but I was in Las Vegas on my vacation for part of it, not all of it. And we had a discussion about a woman that someone knew who said that she had a scarf that Elvis Presley had wiped his brow when he was, you know, performing and tossed it out into the audience. And we're all kind of having this debate about whether you could prove that was really an Elvis scarf or not. But she was, you know, this woman apparently was just thrilled to have that scarf. That's the same kind of reverence, I suppose.
It is, yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Let's go to Eileen in Black River Falls. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. This is kind of a complicated story, but a few years ago, well, my husband and I, for all of our years of marriage, collected beer steins. It was my husband's hobby, and he loved them, and they were beautiful. He had over 500 of them, and they were displayed floor to ceiling in the basement, completely around the basement. They had, like, shelves, six shelves high with them on, and some of them were worth $600-$700 to down to, you know, $10. Well, he died a few years ago, and my folks, because of health issues, were going to be moving in with me. So I packed up all these beer steins, and I'm starting to sell them. Got rid of most of them, and they're not worth, you know, what you think they are, of course, you know, when you buy them. But now I have a basement full of my parents' stuff, which I am not connected to at all. But they are. So I got rid of my stuff to house their stuff. And it's you know, again, I'm not. It's very painful for me to get rid of the signs, but yet, I had to do it to get their stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And Eileen, I'm so sorry for your loss, but that must have been very difficult, Frank Farley, to, you know, she had that emotional connection because it was her husband's collection, but really needed the space.
Yes, she did. And what a fabulous daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she made an enormous choice for her and, you know, and looked after her folks.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with you if you choose to part with those items either.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No.
And
excuse me.
Go ahead, Eileen.
One thing is my mother has dementia, and but she remembers certain things. So, like, I would like to get rid of some of this stuff so I could, again, use my basement. It's like a finished lower level, but you can't use it. But she was a sewer and has 1,000 pieces of material. And every once in a while in her dementia, she'll say, I want to see that piece of material. And if you can't find it, then she's very upset. So it's like I can't get rid of it because you don't know what she's going to be wanting.
Right. Yeah, so. That's tough.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Eileen. Again, I guess the connection with that memory is a part of her mother's connection to her things.
Yes, but you know, it's such a wonderful connection, and what she is doing is so, you know, so loving.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, love conquers all.
Yeah.
And it can conquer collections and all sorts of other things. And in the long run, she'll be, I think, probably happy that she did what she did.
Yeah. You know, she brought up another, her husband was collecting these beer steins because he enjoyed collecting beer steins, I take it, but she did mention about how maybe there was some monetary value to collecting things.
Well, that can happen, mm-hmm. for sure. Look at the shows, the television and other shows about, you know, evaluating the value of things that people have.
Oh, yeah, like Antiques Roadshow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best mm-hmm. example. And yes, and so there may be value in things. So, you know, to some extent we have a collector's culture. And, you know, I suppose the most famous example of all is baseball cards going way back.
Oh,
you
sure.
know, if you have a Babe Ruth baseball card from the 1930s,
mm-hmm.
that's worth an enormous amount of money. If you've got something that's connected to some special event or person, like the Babe Ruth thing, or you have an Andy Warhol, you know, some connection with artists or whatever, these can be valuable things.
Right. Jamie in Wausau is with us now. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've used the approach of taking pictures of things, specifically to kind of manage the artwork that comes home from my elementary school children. I mean, they want to hang on to every little piece of artwork, and, you know, you can't do that. So I take pictures of them, and then I print them in photo books, and that seems to help manage that a little bit. But I do have a six-year-old that just wants to hang on to everything, down to, like, wrappers. If it's a shiny wrapper, she wants to hang on to it to do an art project. Or if it's a cool box that, I don't know, some gift came in, she wants to hang on to it. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on how I can help her understand why we can't hang on to everything. I've kind of found myself at a loss for words as I've tried to explain that we'll be covered in garbage in the whole house at some point. So if you have any suggestions, I'd really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jamie. Frank Farley?
That's a difficult one. You know, again, the photographing things might be a starting point. Where you can display, you know, to your child this wonderful photograph of certain items and then create a kind of, you know, like an old-fashioned scrapbook that would put many of these things into one handy, easily accessible location. And so a whole group of photographs and then sort of slowly get rid of the actual original item.
Yeah, I think that might. I mean, for me, that sounds like a great solution to not having every piece of refrigerator art ever created by your child. You know.
Yeah, and you know, there's this new website, Pinterest.
Oh yes.
which is designed for, you know, basically collectors to record photographs of all sorts of interesting things, and you pin them up. That's where the word pin and the word interest were put together. This is a wildly popular website now.
But Jamie was she said her 6-year-old was accepting her taking pictures of the refrigerator art, but then her 6-year-old wanted to save every wrapper or box or anything that might possibly be used in artwork down the road, and mom doesn't want to, you know, save every single candy wrapper for obvious reasons.
Yes, for sure. And a lot of discussion is probably needed over the value, the relative value of things, and trying to convince the child that there are alternative things that are more important than a candy wrapper, you know, to get involved in alternative things. And again, if it's that serious, you can record stuff, you know, photographically, put things on Pinterest so that the child can go there.
Oh, I see. Sure, take a picture of the shiny wrapper and possibly.
Well, if it's that extreme and is that traumatic, you know, to remove and throw away that stuff, then maybe, you know, create a pin, as they call it, online, and the child can put all of their treasures there, and probably over time would be my prediction they'll lose interest in that.
Yeah.
But you've got through that difficult period.
Jamie, thanks very much for the call. We are talking about why we collect things and when collecting might become a problem, and how we might declutter if that is the desire or needed. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You could also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Frank Farley. He's a psychologist at Temple University and a former president of the American Psychological Association. He's a regular guest on this program when we talk about psychological issues. We noticed that he was interviewed for an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer about why we collect stuff, and we thought it would be an interesting discussion. So what do you collect and why? 1-800-642-1234. Do you know of this being a problem with perhaps somebody you know? Send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be sunny and mild today, highs upper 50s to upper 60s. Tomorrow, it's going to be unseasonably warm and sunny with highs statewide in the 70s. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping to stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk with a political science professor about some of the latest developments in Wisconsin politics, including a second Dane County judge yesterday blocking the Wisconsin voter ID law. We'll talk more about that after 7. Right now we are talking about keepsakes and collecting and memory, why we keep things and when it can cross the line into hoarding, with Frank Farley, who is a psychologist at Temple University. And our next caller is Tommy in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Tommy.
Good morning.
Morning. Go ahead.
No, I collect a lot of guns. I have a lot of guns of my grandmother's and grandfather's, and I just keep collecting, I guess.
Why do you do that, do you think?
I don't know. I've always had a fascination with guns, but I'm not sure. I just like them.
Yeah, well, maybe you just like stuff, Frank Farley.
Sure. Well, you know, Tommy did mention the connection with grandparents. I think he said, didn't he?
Yes, he did. That he has guns of his grandparents.
Yeah, so that probably started it. Again, it's, you know, that the emotional connection, the sentiment, the relationship, and they're so central in our lives. And so in this case, it happened to be focused on things that he probably got. These guns, that the ones that started out in his collection, were probably his grandparents. And so it just sort of got a life of its own. But again, you know, we're interested in all sorts of things. I'm reminded of the late Andy Rooney. You know, he used to do the stories on people collecting interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it. I think in many cases it certainly can get out of hand, no question. But in other ways it can enrich one's life, you know, makes it interesting. You know, what are we going to do in life anyway? Are we just going to sit around and watch the traffic or what? You know, and so collecting things and getting interested, that's a key word, you know?
Right, and I kind of feel odd in saying that when, you know, just because you collect things, maybe you're a hoarder. That's not, I mean, hoarding is much more than having a collection of guns.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, and, you know, I'd rather see people being interested in things, interested in life, interested in all aspects of living. And so collecting stuff can be sort of interesting. Ultimately, you know, it's going to be gotten rid of, but the journey, I think, can be enriched in many cases.
Yeah. Thank you, Tommy. Amy in Grays Lake, Illinois, is with us. Hi, Amy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. When my mom passed away 17 years ago, I inherited 10 dish packs full of things marked family history. And when I started going through it, I thought, oh, I can get rid of the majority of this stuff. Well, I found items from the Civil War, like a diary and certificates where the individual was moved up, and letters from the 1700s. On up to, in each era, covered to my grandpa's letters from World War One to my grandma, my dad to my mom during World War Two. I have contacted, like, museums in Wisconsin because that's where my family's from. My grandpa was president by UW La Crosse for 27 years, so there were several items dated during that period. And it's hard because I know I want to be a good steward. I know they were a pack rat, but there's a huge, rich family history there. And I would like taking the Civil War items into the local middle school during when they're covering that period and done a presentation, because I have that gentleman's complete history. He wrote an article for the newspaper.
Well,
so it's hard to decide what to get rid of, what to donate to museums, what to hang on to.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got some really priceless items there, Amy, and what a nice thing to do, you know, having museums take some of this, schools take some of this, Frank Farley.
Absolutely, and it sort of honors the past, it honors the family past, and, you know, often we need that kind of information to gain an understanding of our history. You know, one of the things about history is that, if you go way back, the history was really that was written by kings and leaders, not everyday folk, like all of us, you know, and today that's changed, and so we need the kind of history of everyday folk, and we need that in constructing where we're from and what we've done and the way we were, and so I think that's wonderful to keep that. You know, one of the interesting things is that some of the most famous people in history, one of their favorite readings is biography and autobiography. Well, everybody's interested in biography and autobiography. And so we're interested in others. We're social animals. Yeah. And so I think that's wonderful.
Well, we're out of time for this hour. This was interesting. Frank Farley, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Joy.
Frank Farley, psychologist at Temple University, former president of the American Psychological Association. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.